Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 14. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. Romans 14. And that's the sixth book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Romans 14, and I am going to start at verse number 9. We read verses 1 through 8 last week. We're going to pick up that same subject matter here today. Let's start with verse 9. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Sweet. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Starting with verse number 9, Romans 14. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but the man who has his doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, there's a lot of lessons to be learned in this portion of Scripture, and Father, we just want to thank you for allowing us to be able to be in this assembly here this morning, to have this book, have your word here in front of us, that we can learn about you, about your ways, and how you want us to live as Christians. Father, as your representative, I hide behind the cross and just ask that every word that comes out of my mouth here this morning will be exactly what your Holy Spirit wants me to say, that I will speak only your truth, Lord. And Father, you get the glory for all things. Father, I decrease, and your name always increases. Thank you for bringing us here. Let us all be encouraged, and let us all learn and grow from your word. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Last week, we began a study on something that the Apostle Paul calls disputable matters in Romans 14. These are matters that are not specifically defined in the Bible. They are neither moral nor immoral in themselves. They are just there. And we may or will encounter these matters in our daily lives. Some disputable matters that we would encounter in 21st century America would be matters such as these. And I mentioned them last week, and they're also written in your bulletin. Food, drink, recreation, television, movies, books, magazines, sports, Sunday activities, cards, games, dancing, smoking, hairstyles, clothing styles, music styles, Christmas trees, etc., etc., etc. These matters become disputable when denominations, when churches, and when other Christians try to tell you what you need to do with them. But what they tell you to do with them and what you and God have decided to do with them just might be two different things. Last week I said there were two extremes to this matter. In one corner over here you have the legalists. They have the list. And every disputable matter is on the list, along with the appropriate procedure what to do when you encounter that matter. The legalists, they love law, they love judgment, and they love the Old Testament. The other extreme is over here in this corner. You have the libertarians. They do not have a list, nor do they even know that one exists. They would rather ask for forgiveness than permission. The libertarians, these people over here, they love freedom, they love grace, and they love the New Testament. Paul calls these issues disputable matters because many Christians fall into one of these two extreme groups. Way over here, the legalists, or sometimes way over here, the libertarians. And both groups think the other is a bad example for Christianity. Therefore, they dispute these matters. As always, there's going to be some Christians who will give biblical support to support their side of the argument. For instance, dancing should be allowed because, after all, in 2 Samuel chapter 6, King David was dancing before the Lord. Smoking should not be allowed because 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that the body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Rolling dice should be allowed because in Acts chapter 2, the apostles cast lots to decide who the replacement would be for Judas. And mowing your lawn on Sunday is forbidden because the fourth commandment tells us to keep holy the Sabbath day. Let me assure you, folks, whatever side of anything you want to take, you could probably find a verse or two in Scripture that's going to support exactly what you want to think. But we can't take Scripture out of context now, can we? Can't do that. The example I gave last week was this. I have a good Christian friend. His name's Paul. He has since moved away. But back in, I think it was the year was 1999, him and I were really good Christian friends. And one day I decided to pick him up to go out for lunch. And we were going to go to KFC and get a couple pieces of chicken. And when I picked him up from his place of work, I put a CD in my car. And my CD was of oldies music, rock and roll from the 60s and 70s. Well, I could tell that I really liked it because I was jamming all the way to KFC. And I could tell my friend Paul was very offended. So the question remains, who was right, him or me? The answer a little bit later. But when it comes to disputable matters, we might find that every situation calls for a different answer. The answer that is for me for a certain matter might not be the same answer that is for you. Likewise, the answer that I give myself today might not be the answer that I give myself tomorrow. But this morning, I want to give all of us several questions that we should ask ourselves and answer for ourselves when we are confronted with a disputable matter. So let's go through these questions and we will fill in the blanks in our bulletin. The first question would be this, that we need to ask ourselves. Okay, we're confronted with this disputable matter. The first question I need to ask is this: will it violate my conscience? Will it violate my conscience? Now you might say, okay, Mike, I like to write that in, but I don't know how to spell conscience. Okay, it's very simple. Conscience. C-O-N-S-C-I-E-N-T-E. That's how I remember how to spell it. Conscience. Conscience. Will it violate my conscience? Did you know that your conscience is the convicting voice of your belief system? It's the convicting voice of your belief system. So maybe I need to ask this. What is your belief system? I sure hope your belief system is built on what this word says. That should be every Christian's belief system. But our belief system is made up of what we've been taught by the Bible, what we've been taught by our parents, by our education, by our environment, etc., etc. And we all have a belief system. And this thing called the conscience is going to tell us for ourselves if something is going to be right or wrong. And Paul addresses this issue in Romans 14, verse 5, and he says this. He says that each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Should be fully convinced in our own mind, our conscience. We should be fully convinced of the situation, whatever that may be. So I need to ask myself this question before I engage in whatever that disputable matter might be. Will it violate my conscience? What's my conscience telling me? I can tell you this, when I'm alone in my car, I have no problem listening to oldies music from the 60s and 70s. It does not violate my conscience whatsoever. It might violate yours, but that's between you and God. Me listening to my music is between me and God. For me, it's not disputable. I am fully convinced in my own mind that I can go down the road and listen to the Beatles. And I'm okay with that. Number two. Okay, will it violate our conscience? Number two, will it help other believers by its example? Will it help other believers? Now, the first example I gave, would violate my conscience, might just be between me. It might be one of those solo things. But now, there might be other people watching. There might be other people with me. Will it help other believers by its example? If I do this, whatever this might be, or if I don't do this, what kind of example am I setting for my brothers and sisters in Christ? Paul uses the example here in Romans 14 of food sacrificed to idols. Now, let me just give you just a little bit of history. Back in those days, food sacrificed to idols was a very, very important and big thing. Because, you see, you had a lot of pagan temples that were sacrificing food for their gods and goddesses. And now you have these Jewish people and these Gentile people who are coming out of their old forms of religion and their old forms of paganism, and now they're becoming Christians. And they know about this food that was sacrificed to idols. And now they're saying one of two things. You know, I don't know if I should eat that stuff or not because that food was sacrificed to idols, and I really need to stay away from it. On the other hand, you had some people who were the libertarians saying, so what? It's just food. Go ahead and eat it. So what if it was sacrificed? An idol was nothing. So food sacrificed to idols was a very big issue back then. But I'm going to read verse 15 for you again, Romans 14, verse 15. I'm going to read just that one verse, and then I'm going to substitute my personal situation in there. Verse 15 says this, if your brother is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. Do not, by your eating, destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Now, I'm going to take my story of me and my friend Paul in the CDs and plug it into that verse, and it would sound something like this. If your brother in Christ, Paul, your friend, is distressed because you put CDs of oldies rock and roll music in your car while he's in the car with you, I am no longer acting in love because he's distressed. Do not, by my liberty of listening to that music, destroy my brother in Christ, Paul, for whom Christ died. So the answer to that question would be this. If I offend my brother in Christ because of the music that I feel I can listen to, don't play it. Don't play it. Wait till Paul gets out of the car, drop him off, and then put your CDs in. Don't destroy my brother in Christ because of my liberty. Verse 16 is another key verse. Do not allow what you consider good to be spoken of as evil. Now, let's use the situation with me and Paul again, because I need to bring out this point. Verse 16 would say this. I can listen to oldies, and that's okay. My friend Paul can't, because him and the Lord have come to the conclusion. But I can't say nothing bad about Paul and go around saying, you know what? I got this friend. Boy, is he ridiculous. He doesn't listen to oldies music. It's not going to hurt you. Come on. You know, and I go around telling all my friends, and I call what he does evil. On the other hand, here's Paul going around saying, you won't believe what Mike does. Mike goes around, he goes around jamming and listening to oldies music all the time. Do you believe that? We cannot consider evil what we have already concluded is going to be right between us and the Lord. Because listening to oldies music is a disputable matter, at least it was between me and my friend Paul, I cannot say, and he cannot say, that what the other person is doing is evil. Because I can't do that. Because we have already determined in our mind what's going to be right. So, we got the first two down. We got four more to go. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's pick up a couple more questions that we need to ask ourselves when we encounter disputable matters. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. And we're going to read just that one verse, and actually we're going to get two more questions out of that one verse. And the verse says this. Paul writes to the Corinthians, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. The third question we need to ask ourselves. We've already asked the first two. The next question is this. Will it benefit my spiritual walk? Paul actually uses here in the NIV translation, not everything is beneficial. So I need to ask, if I do this or don't do this, will it benefit my spiritual walk? Now, I need to throw this in here a second, because we need to be aware of some things. Paul is talking about disputable matters, not sinful matters. There are things that are outlined in the Word of God that are strictly black and white, that are sinful. We should not be doing those things. And we know what the list of those things are. We read about them all the time, and I'm not going to go into that. Let's keep in mind that for these six questions, Paul is talking about disputable matters. Okay, sinful matters are never beneficial. So he's talking about disputable matters. So let me give you an example of how a disputable matter might benefit somebody or might not. Here's an example. Bowling. Okay? I like to bowl. I do. I really like to bowl. And actually, I'm pretty good at it. Okay, we'll talk about sin of pride next week. How's that sound? But bowling in itself is neither good or bad. It's just there. You go to the bowling alleys and you throw a ball down and try and knock down pins. So the question is it okay to join a bowling league? Well, I was in a Monday night league for about 2 years. And while I was in that Monday night league, I had multiple opportunities to witness to the other bowlers that were there on Monday night that were unbelievers. They knew that I was a pastor, and I had a chance to witness to them and share the gospel with them. To me, that was very beneficial. Plus, I had the enjoyment of being able to bowl at the same time. However, if joining a bowling league, and this is just the example that I'm given, means that I start betting on my bowling talents and the abilities with the possibility of losing money, maybe lots of money, or with the possibility of it becoming a gambling addiction, then probably joining a bowling league might not be the best thing for me. So I got to make sure that when I do this or don't do this disputable matter, that it's going to be beneficial to my spiritual walk. And certainly, the example that I gave there was beneficial. I had an opportunity to witness to many people. So here's the first three questions. Let's recap. You encounter a disputable matter, the first question you ask yourself, will it violate my conscience? Go to the next question. Will it help other believers by its example? And then the third question, will it benefit my spiritual walk? Let's go to our fourth question. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 again, because the fourth question is in there. Verse 12, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Fourth question, will it master me? Ooh. Will it become my master and I become its slave? Ooh. You know, there's a whole lot of things in life that can master a person. And many of these things, they start out very innocently as just something you do, something you try. And then you start doing this, whatever it is, a little more frequently. And then you do it more frequently, and it becomes a way of life, or maybe it even becomes an addiction. And now, this disputable matter now has total control over that person. Do you know that some people are controlled and mastered by their hobby of collecting things, and then it suddenly turns into hoarding? You might watch that program on TV, Hoarders, right? Some people are controlled by their job, and they spend more time at work and at work-related events than they do with their spouse and children. Some people are controlled by tobacco, and then it turns into a $75 a week habit, money that could be better spent progressing the kingdom of God. Some people are controlled by a computer and the internet. Gail and I have some friends that we used to go to church with, Eddie and Kathy. Nice young couple, had two children, just a wonderful Christian couple. And when we left that church back in 1999, and I hadn't seen either one of them for quite a while, and I was down at Food Lion shopping one night, and I ran into Kathy. And of course, when you run into somebody you hadn't seen for a while, you kind of ask them how they're doing, how's everybody. Oh, Kathy, how you doing? How's Eddie and the family? And her eyes got about this big, and she said, you haven't heard? That haven't heard what? And she said, you have a few minutes? I'd like to tell you a little story. And I said, I'd like to hear a little story. She said, me and Eddie aren't together anymore. She said, we've been divorced for several years. I noticed that at one point in time, he started spending a lot of time behind the computer. And then he would stay up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, behind the computer. And then he would shut the door, so I couldn't see what was on the computer. Sure enough, he was on a online chat line, found himself another woman, and moved on with his life. His computer became his master. So you need to ask yourself, a computer is neither immoral or moral in itself. It's just there. Maybe I should have added it to the list of disputable matters. But when it gets to the point where it masters your life, then it becomes a real problem. Let's ask ourselves two more questions. And for these, the next one will go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, that's towards the back of your Bible. Just one little verse, verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. And I'll read that to you, and it says this. Live as free men, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as servants of God. The fifth question you need to ask yourself is this. If I engage in this disputable matter, will it be a cover-up for evil? Will it be a cover-up for evil? Paul explains over and over and over again in his epistles, and so does the Apostle Peter, that we have freedom in Christ, and that's a good thing. But will I use my freedom in Christ as a cover-up for my sin? Let me give you an example. Let's use an imaginary person, John Doe. I have a friend, his name is John Doe, and John Doe has a pornography problem. But one day, after through a lot of witnessing of friends and family, John Doe comes to Christ. He comes into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's a great thing. And when he does, he gets convicted of certain things. And he takes all his X-rated tapes and movies and DVDs, and he takes them to the dump and he throws them all away because he just doesn't need that stuff as a part of his life anymore. That's a good thing. But later on, John Doe, he immediately makes a phone call and he gets a subscription to HBO and Showtime. You see, John Doe says, I can handle HBO and Showtime because I have freedom in Christ, but see, little does anybody know, or maybe they do, that John Doe is now using his freedom in Christ as a disguise for his lust to see what those programs have on late night television, because you see, he really does still want to see that kind of stuff, and maybe it's not to the extent that his X-rated movies were, but it's enough to cure his fix for the lust of the eyes. Television in itself is not neither moral or immoral. But what do you do with it? John Doe used it as a cover-up. Sure, he's free to whatever he wants to watch, but John Doe uses it as a cover-up for evil. So here's the first five questions. Will it violate my conscience? Will it help other believers by its example? Will it benefit my own spiritual walk? Will it master me? Does it have the potential for mastering me? Will it be a cover-up for evil? And let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 for the sixth and final one here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm going to read verses 31 through 33. And this is what the Apostle Paul tells the church at Corinth. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God. Even as I try to please everybody in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. The last question we need to ask, will it evangelize the unbeliever? Is it a good witness to the unbeliever? Is it going to be part of the planting or watering that Christians should do in the life of the unbeliever? Does my response to a disputable matter, whatever that matter may be, does it cause me to be the light of the world? Does my response to this disputable matter cause me to be the salt of the earth? When people see me doing this, whatever this is, am I glorifying God in my words, in my actions? Paul says here in these three verses, he says he doesn't want to cause anyone to stumble. And he qualifies that in three ways. He doesn't want the Jews to stumble. He doesn't want the Greeks to stumble. Nor does he want the church of God to stumble. In other words, what he's saying is this. I don't want believers or unbelievers to stumble by what I do. People have asked me on numerous occasions if it is okay to drink a beer or a glass of wine. My response to them is this, that I can only speak for myself and what me and God have already come to the conclusion of. And my personal conclusion for me is this, that I don't drink and I will not drink alcoholic beverages, and it's for two reasons. First reason is because I was a slave to alcohol for many, many, many years, and I am not going to travel that road ever again. The second reason is this. I don't want to see people seeing me out at a restaurant or someplace in public drinking an alcoholic beverage, and then they use that as a reason to stumble if they're a believer and it stumbles their walk, or they can use that if they're an unbeliever to malign the Word of God or to malign what the church is teaching. I can't do that. I have to be the example. So let's conclude. If you come to a disputable matter, you can consult your list. If you're over here, if you're this legalist, you can consult your list and you can just act accordingly. You don't need the Lord. You don't need a prayer life. You don't need to cultivate searching the mind of God. You don't need to pursue intimacy with God. You don't need to know the heart of what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you. And you don't need to dig into God's Word. You just look it up on your list and you just do what it says. If you're one of these libertarians over here, if you're part of the other extreme group, and if you're just going to live your life free in free grace and just run wild and do what you want all the time, these people don't need the Lord either. Because these people aren't worried about anything. You just go ahead and do what you want, and the only time you need to seek God is if you happen to sin or mess up, and then you just ask Him to forgive you so you can just move on. The bottom line for these disputable matters is this, folks. That if we either just seek the list and just do what it says, or if we're just going to do what we want to anyways, we got to be somewhere in between. Because, see, being somewhere in between means that we do cultivate an intimate, an ongoing, a continual, and a deep, meaningful relationship with the living Christ. Because each situation becomes different. But if you're going to live by asking yourself these questions that you've heard this morning, You are going to be daily seeking to know the mind of Christ. Each situation is going to be different. How I handle it, how you handle it. Each situation is going to be different. How you handle it today, how you handle it next week. The key is this. Are you going to ask yourself the questions? And are you seeking the Lord's guidance for your answers? Galatians 5, 13 through 15 says this. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And then a seventh question, and we'll just end with this. You could always ask yourself, well, what would Jesus do? Let's go to God in prayer.